the crisp, clear sound of the oboe and company.
Anthony Camden and the City of London Symphonia and Bellini's Oboe Concerto in E-flat major.
Glad he had it right anyway. It's 20 past 12, and you're listening to The Midday, and Denise Graves has stopped by. Good to see you.
Hi. You both have such lovely speaking voices. It's so soothing to be here next to you.
Well, thank you.
We
like your speaking voice, too.
And your singing voice.
Your singing voice, too, is well thought of.
Thank you.
We understand that it all started in church, and also listening to a Marilyn Horn recording of an opera.
In fact, I know that it got out that it was Marilyn Horn, but it wasn't. But it was, in fact, a recording of Cavalleria Rusticana. Mm-hmm. And yes, to answer the first question, I did get my start, I guess my very first audience, or at least the seeds were planted in church when I was a young girl growing up in Washington, D.C., with my family who had a singing group. And we would perform at different churches in the Washington metropolitan area, gospel music. And my brother, in fact, sang all of the solos. My brother had and has a very beautiful speaking voice as well as singing voice. And one day he was sick, and he mysteriously got sick just before it was time to go in front of the congregation. But at any rate, my mother said, Denise, you have to sing. And we'd never practiced it. She said, Denise, you have to sing this. I cannot do that. She said, you have to sing the solo today. I said, I can't possibly do it. And I was the one child, we're three, and I was the one who was always clutching my mother's skirt and hiding behind her. And I said, I couldn't possibly do this. And then there was lots of encouragement from the people at the church who said, come on, you have to do this. And so that's sort of where it began. Bless my mother's heart, she had no idea what she was
creating.
That's
the good thing about a church, isn't everybody so supportive?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's completely supportive. There's no excuses. Nobody cared if you stayed up late the night before, if you're not in voice, if you didn't vocalize, or if you have phlegm. Just sing, you know?
But now, after years of training and study, you are on a career where you're jet-setting all over and singing and trying to keep your voice in shape. And
that's right. That's right. Well, I am. I mean, the beginning part of this year, I really recommitted myself to my study and to really building the instrument. And so my voice teacher has been traveling around with me a lot as well. And it's just been a wonderful experience for all of us and for my whole family, because we adore her. But the voice has made such progress, and I'm really proud of that. And so the work is never over. You know, I started studying when I was 14 years old, and I still continue to study and still continue to work and discover things about the voice all the time, and about myself as an artist and a human being. So it's been an interesting and beautiful process.
Playing various roles in opera also teaches you things about yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's true. I mean, I say all the time that I became a woman through the eyes and through the experiences of some of those characters that I've become known for some of the Delilahs and some of the Carmens. Those women really showed me what it was to be a woman. And I've learned a lot from those characters, and how you have to really believe in yourself and just find your own inner strength and trust yourself. I think from the very beginning we're taught that everybody else has the answer, or that somebody else knows better. And to learn to develop that voice inside of you is never wrong. You know, it's always there, and everybody is born with that divine guidance, and it's just a question of being able to hear it and to follow that and trusting it.
Now tell us how Scheherazade ties into that. You're singing Scheherazade.
Oh, well, I am singing Scheherazade. I love this work. It's so picturesque. It's such a visual piece. I feel that I can touch it, particularly as she goes through her voyages to the different countries. It's so clear, and I think this is a real masterpiece. I feel that it has so much texture in it when she talks about going to China and the things that she wants to see, and this magnificent voyage, and it's a great work. And we had our first rehearsal last evening, very late, and another one again tonight. I think there's an audience coming tonight for the rehearsal, and so I'm looking forward to it.
This is what I sometimes call the other Scheherazade, by the way, the one by Ravel, which is mm-hmm. far less known than the bigger, splashier orchestral thing by Rimsky-Korsakov. And you're performing that with the Madison Symphony, we should mention, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon.
Well, tonight's actually the rehearsal.
Or I should say, I'm a day ahead of myself.
You are.
Yeah, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Saturday and then Sunday afternoon.
And you're also performing the triptych from Margaret Garner by Richard Danielpour.
I am. Excited about that. This will be the first time. It's a wonderful work. Sometimes it's very difficult to excerpt those things from an entire body of material, as this one is from the Margaret Garner story. And it goes through the three arias in the order that the events happen, the birth of her baby, and then when she's raped, and then the murder of her children. But the music is sublime. And a very powerful story a true story that I am proud to be able to share with the public. And to perform as this triptych, the three of them together, is the very first time that we've done something like that. So I think it'll be wonderful. It's in English, and just very, very moving.
So those concerts are this weekend with the Madison Symphony Orchestra, and you have very kindly brought by a couple of your CDs. We'll be using one as a prize today for our midday quiz.
Ooh.
Quiz will be just a tad late today, but
it will.
Bear with us. We'll make it worth your while.
In the meantime, we're going to sample from this CD called Voci di Donna, which you, by the way, did have a radio program.
On XM Radio, called Voce di Donna, Voice of a Lady. That's right, and that was a great experience for me. It afforded me the opportunity to speak with a lot of my colleagues that, you know, oftentimes when you're on an engagement and you're working, everybody shows up at the theater just to do the work, and then they go about their separate ways. But it was a real insight into some of the minds, the hearts, and of a lot of my colleagues, and that was a real, real joy for me.
So you're not doing it? Don't have time to do that
anymore?
I
just haven't had, particularly since my daughter's birth, and traveling with such an even heavier schedule, it's just been really difficult to try to squeeze the interviews in.
Anyway, we're going to hear an aria from Werther by Jules Massenet. Can you tell us just a little bit about this?
This particular aria, I think you're going to play Va laisse mes larmes, which means go and let my tears flow, is from the third act of the opera Werther by Massenet. And Charlotte, who is married to a wonderful man but in love with someone else, banished him away from the hometown where they were living, and he had been writing to her over the months and told her that he would return at Christmas. Well, now it's Christmas, and she's nervous, the anticipation of his arrival, and she starts to cry about her personal dilemma, and her younger sister walks into the room and catches her crying, and this is her response to that.
Thank you.
That was an aria from Werther by Jules Massenet. Go and let my tears roll.
She says it's a beautiful image. She says that the tears that it's very important to cry because the tears that are not shed outward fall inward, and they fall and they drip on the heart and they exhaust the heart and causes it to break.
Sounds psychologically valid to me.
You have a lot. You have a very versatile voice. You have CDs of Latin jazz, some crossover things. You have one called Church.
That's right.
Tell us about that one.
That project was born. I was in New York having coffee with a friend of mine, and we were talking about specifically about African American opera singers who had gotten their start in the church. And I said, well, in fact, I'm sure it isn't just limited to opera singers. I'm sure that if you look across the board, some of the jazz singers or the pop singers or the hip-hop artists, or probably many of them got their start in the church, and thought, wouldn't it be a great idea to do this project called Church with all of these women who were rooted in the church but went into different musical genres, but with the church being the sort of the bedrock. And so what ties that project together is that we have a gospel choir through each of the ladies on the CD project sings in their style, whatever song it was that they chose, but the gospel choir is the thread that connects together the whole of it. Mm. So that's what that was. And there's a wonderful CD-ROM also with interviews with all of the ladies in the church. It's beautiful. Beautiful project. Proud of it.
Well, let's see. Shall we hear something that's maybe even more associated with your character roles?
Well, this was the role where you debuted in at the Met, right? In Bizet's Carmen.
Oh, yeah.
And a very familiar one for many people, although you haven't heard this recording yet.
I'm hearing it today with you all for the first time, but this is the Seguidilla, or as I like to call it, the Quesadilla. but this is the famous Seguidilla from the first act of Carmen.
After which, our quiz question.
With that, we have kind of a full studio now, but
it's kind of an open house today.
This was a 1999 recording with
powerful
in Munich, and it was the Seguidilla from Carmen by Georges Bizet. Denise Graves, what a pleasure it's been to have you with us for a brief time this midday.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for stopping by in between things on a busy schedule.
Oh, sure.
Here in Wisconsin.
We look forward to your concerts with Madison Symph this weekend.
I'm very excited about it.
All right, next stop, that much-touted quiz question here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Import Auto Clinic, 2583 University Avenue in Madison, providing repair and service for import and domestic vehicles for more than 30 years. Import Auto Clinic, 608-231-1221.
88.7 WERN, Madison, your home for NPR News and classical music.
Well, to get us started, I have the question from yesterday.
Yesterday's for review, okay.
Alfred Lunt said that a successful marriage requires a bad memory and a good what? A good sense of humor.
Of course.
That was yesterday's question.
Worked for him 55 years or so.
And today you can call us at the usual numbers, toll-free, 800-442-7106. If you're in Madison, the direct number is 263-1236. And you can also send your answer by email to midday@wpr.org between now and 1.
Quiz question is a musical one today. Goes like this. Identify the person. In order to create the illusion of a lion's mane, this conductor, who began his musical career as a church organist and choir director, changed his first name, grew long hair, and experimented with light in the concert hall. I better clatter through that again here. Yes. In order to create the illusion of a lion's mane, this conductor changed his first name, grew long hair, and experimented with light in the concert hall. Name that conductor. Very famous conductor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who's conducting here?
This conductor is actually Arthur Fiedler, and he's not the guy.